This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Got to pull one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it.
It's there. Jackpot, Kansas City!
On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Sports Sunday right here on 1080. The Fan. The Odyssey app. 99.5 HD2. YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I am Joe Fisher III. Back in the one chair across the faux marble table is Rashawn Taylor, as always, in the two chair.
What's going on, PDX?
And behind the glass, Jordan Schultz. I was wondering why I felt so damn tired this morning, and then Rashawn hit me with the daylight savings time. We lost an hour of sleep last night.
I feel like I got hit by a truck. Like, I could have fallen asleep in the car on the way here. That never happens.
It's not a good feeling.
I'm like, usually in control of my faculties. I didn't drink at all last night, and felt like I did when I woke up today.
I was playing golf yesterday, and I decided to walk the course instead of taking a cart, you know, get some steps in.
Well, good for you, you athletic man, you.
Well, I'm trying to get my body weight down so I can run the 40.
Yeah, Dirt and Sprague are giving you a lot of crap for that one.
Well, also, they don't make sense because now they also say
I don't know
that,
who to side with on this.
They say that I can run a 4.51 apparently because I did not state or prove that I can run a 5.27. It clearly means that I can just run whatever I want and just, you know, make proclamations that, oh, well, if I can run a 5.27, I can run a 4.51, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not right at all. Actually,
no.
That's
yeah.
Incredibly wrong.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that maths.
I was like, that doesn't make sense. But I'm trying to get the weight down. So I got the steps in yesterday at the golf course.
Okay. How'd it feel?
The golf or the
walking?
Well,
just walking around without a cart, 18 holes.
Oh, it was fine. You know. I will say, though, my dogs, they were barking. And they were howling after that round. I have some, like, Jordan golf shoes that, what are they, the Olympic Sixes.
Okay.
And those things are not conducive to walking that much.
You go inserts at all, or? I've seen them, like, golfers have, they have them even, like, for being out on the golf course. I'm sure, like, they're like $500.
Maybe I should, but I don't know. Putting inserts in those things, I feel like I'm walking on stilts on those things already. I feel like when I put those particular golf shoes on, I am like 7-8 inches taller than I normally am.
Yeah, and golf shoes aren't I mean, this is just me. I don't want to speak for anybody else. Not necessarily like comfortable.
Well,
super
again,
comfortable.
And again, these are Jordan 6s. Like, are you trying to walk 5-6 miles in Jordan 6s?
I'm not.
Like, that's, they're not exactly the most comfortable shoe to go on a walk. Like, yeah. I would want something that is more conducive to going on a walk and isn't going to hurt as much. So, yeah, my dogs are barking. They're howling. And then, I mean, I was just tired yesterday after the round. But also, your boy does not dabble in the greenery anymore, in the herbal essences.
Oh, yes.
That's, well, just, when did that start?
Me?
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of years ago. I do not really partake anymore. It went from being really fun and, you know, enjoying to thinking the world was going to end at any moment. You know, it usually happens in your 30s.
Wait, what?
There are some people where...
Oh, you turned back into, like, first experience guy.
Yeah,
oh,
it turned into one of those where I was
good,
like,
Lord.
Yeah, trust me, I don't want it to happen like that.
Okay.
But it was definitely one of those, like... it happens to some people where you get to a point where it's not as enjoyable as it once was. And whenever you do partake, you just think the worst imaginable things and the anxiety ramps up and the paranoia. It's just not fun.
No, I can imagine.
So I don't dabble as much, but yesterday I figured I was out on the golf course with friends. I was having a good time, you know, 18 holes, the first 18 holes of the year. And so I thought I would partake, and boy, that gave me a solid nap post-round, that's for sure. There was a Taco Bell trip on the way home, too. I felt like I was 17 again.
It's one of the best.
Hell yeah.
It sounds like a good afternoon to me. I don't know. I could be tripping, but...
It was fantastic.
Well, yeah. Minus the price now of Taco Bell. You used to be able to get the whole menu for $18. Now it costs about triple that.
I think I might have told you guys this once before. But I've actually purchased the entire Taco Bell menu once.
Like,
before.
Legit? Every item.
So check this out. Shout out to my guy. So this is...
And did you have to get a colonoscopy right
after
that? Oh, my
gosh. It didn't end, I'll start by saying it didn't end well. But so
that
we're...
I'm shocked.
No, it's, so check it out. So we're seniors in high school, and it's right after, like... We just finished a rehearsal for the play Guys and Dolls.
It's like a YouTube video, right? Before YouTube videos existed.
Yeah, for sure.
Rashad's mukbang.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, for real. Like, seriously. It was one of those things. It wasn't just me, though. So it was me and, like,
you can do a mukbang with multiple people.
You know what I mean? So, my guy,
a mukbang? Never mind. I'm not going to finish
this.
Let's not do that. Yeah.
I'm going to dump myself.
My guy, Noah, goes, man, I'm so hungry. I can eat the entire Taco Bell menu. And there's kind of like a slight pause, and we all kind of looked at each other in the car like,
bad.
It's actually not a bad idea, man. And so we ordered one of everything.
Gross.
One of everything. But instead of getting like every type of chalupa and every type of gordita, we just got one gordita, one chalupa, and then one of, you know. So take it back to our buddy's house, and we don't have much to drink, but there is like a bunch of... Mike's Hard Lemonade and PBR and other stuff.
God.
That just happens to be around or water. And
you,
stuff.
Your guys' gut just absolutely
wrecked. We went in on that Taco Bell. And mind you, it was like $28 for everything, you know? And so.
This was back in 1996.
2001, actually.
Remember those
days?
Yeah,
it was in 2001 when everything.
I could get an Enchirito for 79 cents. Yeah,
59, 79, 99, you know, was the way some of those went.
Oh, but, I remember the Mexican pizza.
Oh, they were fire.
The gas was under $1 a gallon. Yeah,
but they were all there, and we just start taking it apart. We're smashing stuff. And.
You're supposed to eat
it. A couple hours later, everybody is like, yo, super sick. So it's a Friday night.
I'm shocked.
And so the next day we have a spring league like basketball game that we're playing in. And so it's super early. Like it's like the game starts at like 10 o'clock. I'm late as hell. My mom rushes me there and everything. We get there and my buddy Chris, who hosted the show with us last week, His dad is coaching the team. And so I walk in the gym hella late, and his dad is like, get in, because we're getting smacked at this point. Everybody's messed up. Get in the game. So I take my jacket off, get in the game. Buddy throws me a long outlet pass. Catch the ball, lay it up, goes in. My only basket of the day. Soon as it goes in, I proceed to throw up in the water fountain right in front of us. Like,
we
in the gym, in the old gyms in high schools, there was like water fountains, or at least might be a water fountain on the wall, like under the
It goes into the wall.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, man, threw up right into that and everything.
Hot.
And from that point was just, it was over. And then every day, the Lakers are playing in a playoff game later that day, and they keep showing this Kobe Big and Tasty commercial, and he's biting
He's
biting this Big and Tasty, and he's got like mayo and stuff all over his. And every time I saw it, I was like,
"Gross!"
That sounds disgusting.
It was the worst day, and so it took me a long time to get back on Taco Bell.
Well, I got some Taco Bell on the way home, and then I went home and took that nap, and then proceeded to wake up and then go get some Wendy's.
Oh, you fast food devil, you.
I couldn't believe it.
So much for getting those steps in, huh?
Well,
oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, just wipe those right out.
Well, it's shameful when you go through the drive-thru once at a fast food restaurant, but then less than 24 hours later, when you decide to go to another one, it's like, okay, I think I really need to re-examine my life.
It got me.
Because I've been there, too.
I mean, hungry, happy, sleepy is what it's supposed to do.
That's true. Big question, though. What is the Taco Bell item? What is the go-to for you guys? For me, cheese quesadilla. Easy question to answer. That sauce, whatever it's called. No, I just need the cheese. The chicken's okay.
You gotta get some protein, brother.
Well, protein is in cheese, too. But that jalapeno sauce or whatever's on their quesadillas, it's to die for.
Oh, yeah, it's the Baja sauce. I got a bottle of it in the fridge.
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Cheesy gordita crunch.
Ooh.
Is the one for me. Always kind of has been. I'm not sure what whatever that sauce might be the same. Baja sauce, I'm not sure exactly what it is.
That stuff's good, too.
But, yeah, cheesy gordita crunch, hands down. Give me... They're pretty expensive. They're like maybe $6 or $7, which is weird.
They used to be $2.59.
Yeah, but did they really?
Yeah, back in the day,
man,
baby.
But, yeah, give me two of those and I'm all good.
Crunchwrap, all day, every day. It's classic. It's good to go.
That was a good addition that they brought to the menu. What, like, Crunchwrap is still relatively new as far as Taco Bell's menu. That was, like, what, 10 years ago, something like that?
That was a game changer. I remember getting it in high school. So
did
I mean,
you really? Like, I don't remember Crunchwraps in high school.
That was a new thing.
Like, maybe 15, 16 years, something like that.
They actually have Crunchwrap kits, like, that Taco Bell makes. They sell those now at, like, Fred Meyer, so you can make them at home.
Well, good for them.
It's
pretty. Oh, yeah, I've made some homemade Crunchwraps.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, Joey, he likes his, him being a 12-year-old, almost 12-year-old boy, he likes only, like, corn and avocado in his burrito. And cheese, like that's it. So a very random assortment.
Good. I mean, that's good. Get some veggies in there. Get some fucking some amino fats. Yeah, he's good.
The amino fats.
I don't know, like
an avocado, baby. Yeah.
Is that good an fats. Amino yeah. fat or
I, don't know,
I thought?
Like that.
I thought it was an amino acid.
I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, either way works.
I don't know, tomatoes.
But yeah, that's what he likes in his Crunchwrap, and he said he's been craving a Crunchwrap lately. Because I can make some homemade ones. You got to get the problem is, though, you got to get the big burrito wrap. The big tortilla.
Yeah.
So that way you can fold it over.
And do...
Yeah, if you skimp out and get some smaller ones, then
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be a mess.
You're going to have a smaller burrito.
If you don't get the right burrito wrap size, you got to cut it or whatever. So that's why that Crunchwrap kit looks so alluring. I think I got to try that.
The Crunchwrap made in 2005. That's when it was invented. So we're on the 20th year anniversary of the Crunchwrap. One of the greatest
Taco
Bell creations of all time.
Still a newer iteration, thanks to Harley on the YouTube saying breakfast Crunchwrap might be the best breakfast item of all time. And I would say that's probably close.
Taco Bell's breakfast is criminally underrated.
Like, it is.
People don't understand how good like the Taco Bell breakfast actually is. It might look like it's not all that on the commercials and whatnot, but yo, if you go and order, like, again, the breakfast crunch wrap or the little breakfast tacos.
You know, I used to like the breakfast crunch wrap. They used to put, like, gravy in it. I mean, there was this, like a biscuit and gravy style gravy, and they don't do that anymore. And now I'm out. I'm out on the breakfast crunch wrap.
That could change things for a lot of people.
Yeah, so I don't know what I'm going to do today. I don't know if I need to go golf again, play another 9 holes without the marijuana-induced... last 3 holes that also followed with Taco Bell and Wendy's all within the same day. I can't believe myself, honestly. I'm somewhat ashamed.
Yeah, that was a lot, man. I got to be
somewhat
honest.
Ashamed. But, I got to live with my choices. I got to live with the consequences. Maybe hit the tonal later.
Could be good.
Do you have a Stairmaster?
Could be good.
I do not know. My this is at my girlfriend's house. She does not have a Stairmaster. She has stairs.
There you go.
There you go. That's good.
That's stairs a Stairmaster.
Stairs is just as good. Up and down those stairs.
Yeah.
A few times, man.
A nap does sound nice, though.
It does, especially on a day like today. I have to go work out when I get home. That's the first thing I got to do.
It is a triumphant day, though. I mean, daylight savings, one extra hour of sunlight. I mean, that is...
I'll take it. It's been coming. It's been creeping for a few weeks now.
Like, I mean, thank God.
There's nothing more depressing about... being dark at 4:15, there's nothing cool about that.
No,
like there. I mean, it's my son gets out of school at 4 o'clock, so going to get him from school, and by the time we get back home, it's like closer to 5 or something like that, and it's already getting dark. That sucks. Your whole day feels like it's over.
Well, I was in the car last night at one point. I think it was 6:30. Yeah, 6:30, and I was and I had the quick thought coming to my head. I'm like, the fact that tomorrow at this time it's going to be 7:30 and this is what it's going to look like out, I'm like, oh, awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Let's go.
Sign me the F up.
Well, I think I'll be able to see some light going to work on Dirt and Sprague show tomorrow, too, because of daylight saving.
Yes.
Right? Like it peaks out a little bit earlier now.
And I don't understand the whole daylight saving versus non-daylight saving. Like, why would people want to have what we just had permanently?
I just don't want to have the change. I felt so bad driving in this morning. I need us to pick one. If you guys want to pick this one, that's great. But I don't want to do the changeover anymore.
I want the one with more sunlight.
Fine. Let's keep it that way.
Plain and simple.
Just never change it again because I'm sick of being scared of having a heart attack and feeling like ass every 6 months. So.
Does daylight daylight savings, does that induce heart attacks?
No, daylight saving has a really
science behind that?
Bad health effect on people. Yes, I'll
state your sources, bro.
Daylight saving health effect.
Well, while you search for that, we'll take a commercial break, and we got to get into some football stuff because there has been some football happenings. I figured we'd go hockey trade deadline, but I'll pass on that for now.
This is right from PBS. Studies show that it disrupts sleep and leads to measurable adverse outcomes, including a significant increase in heart attacks.
What does PBS know?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Not a damn thing. Johns Hopkins, they don't know S.
All right, well, we're going to take...
I know Johnny Hopkins.
Take a commercial break because we've got some NFL stuff. And second hour, we're going to have Roy Pittman on the show, which Rashad can do a better job of explaining who this man is, but he's a wrestler.
Well, he's...
You going to try and hand me the notes? Like,
yes, well, you're the one, right?
Here's
you're
the copy.
No,
I'm passing the rock to you on this one.
Oh, well, all good then.
I'm setting up the assist. But he will come in the second hour. I don't know. You know more about him than I do. Local wrestling coach.
Legend.
Local wrestling legend.
Member, not even just local. He's the member of the National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Has he been on the receiving end of a Stone Cold Stunner?
I do not believe so, but he might have talked Stone Cold everything he knows. Potentially.
That would be cool. We'll have to. We will find out in the second hour. But let's get into some NFL football. G No More in Seattle. We get to that next here. Football Sunday. Wait, no. Sports Sunday. On 1080 The Fan.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Seattle Seahawks, they no longer want Geno Smith on their team. After a trade on Friday night, Friday afternoon-ish, that there were some rumblings, and then they finally pulled the ripcord, and the Seattle Seahawks sent Geno Smith to the Las Vegas Raiders for a third-round pick. So the Geno Smith era in Seattle, now officially over. This is going to be a very, very different-looking Seahawks offense next year because, obviously, we will not have Geno Smith. There will no longer be Tyler Lockett as he is no longer a Seattle Seahawk. And then DK Metcalf requesting a trade as well.
Get me out of here.
So, really, I mean, it's going to be Jaxon Smith-Njigba throwing passes to Jaxon Smith-Njigba after a carry from Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I mean, it's the JSN show in Seattle. I mean, it's going to be interesting, man. I don't know. The rumors are that the Seahawks are looking to acquire Sam Darnold at quarterback, but that does not take away from the fact that this Seahawks offense is going to look very different on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm nervous. I felt like, I'm not going to say that Geno gave you the best chance at winning, but I mean, going from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold, like, how much of an upgrade is that? I think that Sam Darnold had the year that he had because of Kevin O'Connell and being on that Vikings team. And
yeah, having Jettis doesn't hurt.
Jordan Addison and having even T.J. Hockenson and having Aaron Jones is a great pass-catching back. I feel like that is – but mostly I put the success on give the success to Kevin O'Connell, who won coach of the year this season, question mark?
Yeah.
So when you go from Geno Smith to Sam Darnold in a new system, new coach, new weapons, everything, like, to me, is that going to be an upgrade if that is what ends up happening? And I love asking my son, telling my son these transactions and moves, because I feel like a 12-year-old, he can give me a pretty honest opinion, especially when it's on his team. And I tell him, hey, son, Geno Smith, he got traded to the Raiders. He's like, oh, wow. And we were literally just talking about Geno Smith the day before because I had told him about the Lockett news and DK Metcalf. And he's like, yeah, he's like, we need a new quarterback, though. And I was like, you don't like Geno? He's like, no, Geno's fine, but we can just do better. And so then when I told him that Geno Smith was traded – and told him for a third-round pick. He's like, third-round pick? He's like, we should have just kept him if we're giving up a third-round pick. So I'm wondering where you guys are at on, one, giving him up, trading him, and getting a third-round pick out of it. If you think that if you can get much of an upgrade out on the market over Geno Smith, who had been a top-10 passer in the league the last couple of seasons. Again, I'm curious to see how much better the Seahawks can get at the quarterback position, which, if you're going Sam Darnold, is a little bit better? I don't know.
I don't know. I think Sam Darnold is almost, I don't want to call it a lateral move, because I do think Geno Smith is better.
That's kind of how I feel, too.
I do think Geno is better, but I'm not better, but I think, like you said, I think Sam Darnold had the benefit of a really, really good offense in Minnesota. I think he had the benefit of not arguably, but the best wide receiver, you know, in football on his team, who was all pro pretty much every single year. I don't think Geno had that type of roster. You know, obviously Jackson Smith and Jigba is a great addition, and he's the person you obviously going to build your offense around now. But having a DK Metcalf is great, but it's not Justin Jefferson. Like, I mean, so it's just kind of one of those things. But if you look at the numbers, and you're right, Joe, he's not only is Geno Smith top 10, this year he was a top 5 quarterback. He was fourth in passing yards, and he didn't throw as many touchdowns as Sam Darnold. But if you look at their stats, they're almost exactly identical. Yards per game, 254.1. They both have the exact same number as far as yards per game. Geno Smith threw one more yard more than Sam Darnold all season. Like, so it's kind of one of those things. That's why I kind of say it's more of a lateral move. But I think it's the Seahawks have other things to figure out. The first that being what you do with DK Metcalf, or if you decide to keep him, or if he decides to stay, because it sounds like he's done with this whole Seahawks process and wants out. He's probably tired of getting rained on every day. And so you let go of a Seahawk, I won't call him a legend, but yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and say Seahawk legend and Tyler Lockett.
I thought you were going to say Seahawk legend Geno Smith. I'm like,
no,
We're throwing around that legend word a little loosely here.
I'll say Tyler Lockett is a Seahawk legend. You know, maybe not NFL legend, but as far as the Seahawks franchise, I think he's, you know, one of those guys. He's got a championship with the team, so, you know, he's
a legend in not taking hits, that's for sure.
No, he definitely
well, he better not. Otherwise, he definitely break doesn't. His collarbone.
So, and I look at this as not as kind of almost a good thing for Geno as well, because he's going to a situation with Pete Carroll. It doesn't look like Pete Carroll is looking to rebuild right now. It looks like he's trying to start fast. And I think Geno is a good start with having a quarterback that can come in. You know, he can run an offense for you. You've worked with them before, obviously being in Seattle your last year there. So, I mean, I think it could be good and bad, but I think the Seahawks have more to figure out right now if they let him go, because clearly, last year they traded for what was the backup quarterback?
Sam Howell from Washington. Yeah.
That clearly, that's. Well, I don't think that's going to work the way you want it to. So
well, I'm sorry if anybody did think that was ever going to be an option. They never watched Sam Howell play football because he's terrible.
He was awful, you know, and so that can't be your options. So, but if you're lucky right now, because there are some quarterback options out there. Now, are they going to be better than Geno Smith right now? We don't know. But Justin Fields is somebody that looks like they might be, or he's going to be available, you know. And so there's some guys out there that you could get to fill a void. But does that help you win if you're the Seahawks?
No. Geno Smith.
That's what I'm saying. Like, does it help you win if you're the Seahawks? And Geno at least got his team to the playoffs.
Exactly.
At least once, you know. So
Geno Smith is a winner.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think so. I think so. I think when you go, and I've said this before, when you go to a bad franchise, when you're drafted, like all the weight is on your show, especially if you're drafted first round. Like if you're drafted third, fourth, fifth round as a quarterback, okay, because there's a good chance you're going to a good team that's just waiting for that number one to whatever, you know. But when you go in the first round to a crappy team, you're probably going to get beat. You're going to get beat up on a whole lot.
Oh, well, he literally got beat up on by one of his own linebackers.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of threw his career off, broke his jaw, maybe threw a little swagger off. Geno is one of the best quarterbacks as far as comebacks go since 2022, I believe. The stat was like 12 comeback wins or 12 comeback drives to lead the Seahawks to a win, which is second to only Patrick Mahomes. And four of those came this year, week 2 against the Patriots, week 10 against the Niners, and then week 12 against the Jets, week 17 against the Rams. So it's not like that's a stat from a couple of years ago. Geno's still able to do it, and even with a crappy offensive line. I'm kind of with you, Joe. Don't really know how much better the Seahawks can get at quarterback here. It'll be interesting to see if they want to go younger, because it's not really better. It's just younger with Sam Darnold. And if they want to go much younger, but what do you think, Jackson Dart falls to him? I'm seeing a bunch of people on social media saying that that's the way that they want to go. But I'm not sure that this makes it better. And getting a third round pick, in my opinion, that kind of seems like a Jody Allen sort of regime thing happening. I know Schneider's the one leading the deal here, but this is just a herky-jerky way to do it. They fired Carroll after they had brought Geno Smith in, and then all of a sudden trying to negotiate an extension, apparently. They need to move on from Geno as well, and they do that 2 years after they move on from Carroll. I like the fit back in Las Vegas for Geno. I think him and Pete Carroll are going to be good together, but I just don't know what this means for the Seahawks, and I'm not sure I like the move.
Well, it's a mid-off at the quarterback position in the NFL this offseason. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but God, I mean, we look around the league. It is not a good time if you are looking for a quarterback. We get to that next here on Sports Sunday. But first, Jordan Schultz with a Sports Desk update from the new George Allen Sports Desk. Boy, if you need a quarterback right now, this is not the year for you. I felt like I was reading an article or something somewhere about what teams are looking for and who, what team is talking to who and what team is considering what quarterback. And I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yes. I was like, for the love of God, man. Like, what was it a couple years ago where we had, like, Lamar Jackson on the market and I felt like there was a couple other good quarterbacks that were available as well. And I'm like, my God, yeah, if you're a team in need of a quarterback right now, I feel sorry for you.
I mean, last offseason was a lot better, I feel like.
I mean, like right now, Aaron Rodgers, who probably just shouldn't play quarterback anymore, he could be going to the Vikings. Apparently, there's mutual interest there as well.
We all called it. If he goes to the Vikings after going to the Jets, a la Brett Favre, like, hey, man, like this is who his career was meant to be, was Lil Brett.
You know, I'm not going to bag on him so much. His stats from last year look pretty good, and the Jets were terrible. So, like, he still managed to throw for almost 4,000 yards. His touchdown to interception ratio is not terrible. See what's left in the tank, old A-Rodge. I don't mind.
I think it would be hilarious if he went to the New York Giants. I mean, they, quite honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if that was the move that he ends up making, because he's desperate, they're desperate. It's a match made in desperation.
Do you think their fans would be down for that?
No.
For Aaron Rodgers coming in?
But also, yes, because you've had Daniel Jones the last 4 years and mixes of Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke in there. So I actually think that, yeah, they probably wouldn't mind having Aaron Rodgers on the team.
Well, considering that, you know, like Jordan said, Aaron Rodgers didn't have the Aaron Rodgers-esque season that we're used to seeing, but you know, he did throw 28 touchdowns to the Jets receivers, you know. So, and mind you, two of those
Jets four of those were in the last game of the year when it didn't matter. And he was just trying to get a 500 passing yard record or whatever.
Yeah, and two of those receivers for the Jets were, you know, are super, super legit. Let's go ahead and say that. At least one of them was. But I don't know. I think Aaron Rodgers, you're going to make money off the fact that You've got Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. He's a legend, regardless of how we want to feel or what we want to say about him. He is a weirdo, blah, blah, blah. And it's all true. Let's just be real. But, you know, when you put him under center, he's going to make things happen for you, even for a crappy team like the Jets. So I can imagine what he could do with the Justin Jefferson and some of those weapons that the Vikings have, if that were the case. But going to the going to the Giants, I mean, yeah, you got neighbors. And outside of that, it's kind of like, all right, you know, what are we doing? So I think the smart play for Aaron would be, in my opinion, would be the Vikings, if that was really a thing.
The Jets apparently are interested in Justin Fields, and they feel like his best quarterback, best football is ahead of him.
Stop it. That's just hilarious.
And the Steelers, I think, are also considering bringing Justin Fields back. Which means that Russell Wilson will be looking for a new home probably because he was just on a 1-year deal over there.
I will say I was impressed with his ability to kind of change it up. You know, Pittsburgh's very different, and I do still believe that when you have two quarterbacks, you have none. But Pittsburgh was able to make lemonade out of lemons with, you know, two quarterbacks all season. It was pretty crazy to see Justin Fields come in and in the NFL change the pace of the game just because of the run.
Well, they were able to until they weren't. And the end of the season, sure. I mean, they lost, I think, was it four straight games going into the playoffs?
Yeah, it was bad.
And any good team they played down the stretch, they lost by multiple scores.
They got figured out. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Russell Wilson experiment ended up kind of running its course. And again, where he ends up going, best of luck. I'm trying to think, there were some other quarterbacks that were or other teams on the list. I mean, again, we kind of talked about in that last segment as far as the Seattle Seahawks, as far as what they're going to do if they go the Sam Darnold route. You know, I don't consider it much of an upgrade, and especially if you're losing two weapons in Tyler Lockett, who was not Tyler Lockett of the past, but still very serviceable. DK Metcalf, like, are you going to replace that? Like, what are you going to replace that with?
And not
are you going to go to Noah Fant more often?
Not just DK, but, you know, obviously a Tyler Lockett as well. So you're losing your receiving core for the most part, with the exception of Smith and Jigma or like you said, Fant. So how do you move from here if you're the Seahawks? Now, I think this is you lose DK Metcalf, you're in a rebuild. We can go ahead and just call this a do-over because you've lost your one X factor that you really have on the offensive end. I love Smith and Jigma. I think he could really be a stud given the right situation and the right quarterback. But I think DK Metcalf is just waiting for his opportunity to be a superstar, and he really hasn't got a chance to do that yet. So I think they have a lot of decisions to make, you know, if you're the CEOs. This is beyond the draft. They got to do stuff in free agency. They got to make some trades. They got to figure out a way to stay afloat because the NFC West isn't getting any easier.
Gosh, the Minnesota Vikings, also I saw this one, they might have to go the Daniel Jones route for next year.
Yikes.
Dear God.
Yikes. Yeah, I've seen some of that being thrown out there. That's weird.
Pray for them.
Man, go find Shane Falco or Paul Crewe or something like that, man. Please don't go get Justin Fields don't get any one of these other quarterbacks to come in there and do this job, especially if his name is Daniel Jones.
It would only be temporary, right? Because J.J. McCarthy, you know, probably wouldn't be down for more than a couple games coming back from that injury.
Yeah, but, you know, we'll see what he looks like coming back from a knee injury.
They're in Daniel Jones.
Playing his first real NFL snaps ever. You know, he played a half in a preseason game, and that was it so far. I mean, to say that J.J. McCarthy is going to just like, oh, well, it's his job, and it's just going to be his, and he'll take over, and I'll be good. I mean, I didn't think J.J. McCarthy was going to be a good NFL quarterback to begin with. So, again, we'll see when he comes back from injury. But, yeah, if this is not a good offseason if you're a team in need of a quarterback because your choices are dog water. I mean, you're looking at an aged Russell Wilson, Sam Darnold, who is coming off his best season. But again, I think that has a lot more to do with the system, coach, and players that you had in place at Minnesota. It was the perfect storm. I mean, hell, we saw what happened to Kirk Cousins as soon as he, you know, granted, left Minnesota. Now it was off of an Achilles injury, but he has not looked good since then. Granted, I would say Kirk Cousins' best football was when he was in Minnesota, even before his, you know, compared to his Washington years. I think he played his best when he had Kevin O'Connell as his coach. Yeah, if you're an NFL franchise in need of a quarterback, good luck. Good luck this offseason.
Yeah, or unless you hit it big in the draft with some kid that nobody's paying attention to. But other than that, it looks pretty bleak out there.
Let me put my tinfoil hat on. I think that there is a very, very good possibility that the Seahawks will end up drafting a quarterback because, like you guys say, it's just absolute dog water out there. Kirk Cousins, he's available through trade. He told Atlanta that he wants to go somewhere where he could start. So I don't know if that attracts anybody to a Seattle game. Like, I want to go buy a ticket to watch Kirk Cousins. But the fact,
like I said, it's a mid-off right now this offseason.
It is.
But not just the quarterbacks, but the teams, too. These are all teams that are either in the middle, middling around, trying to make the playoffs, or not even near the playoffs last year. Like, this is just, it's just sad, really. It's just sad.
And the sadness is making me put my tinfoil hat on. What do you guys think of Seattle drafting a quarterback and bringing in Russell Wilson again to kind of lead the way to that, you know, runway of the next quarterback? Because
would Russell be with it, though? And I think that's the big thing.
What is he, 36?
Would he be willing to go back to Seattle?
You know,
especially if he's not being, if he's being traded there potentially, but if he's being, if he's just going as a free agent, or I don't know. You let go of your franchise's greatest quarterback ever, the person that got you to two Super Bowls and won one of them for you, and you dismissed him like he was dog water. And so I don't know if Russ or if his wife would allow them to go back to Seattle. I don't think she wants to go back to Seattle.
Yeah, I think Russell Wilson's best days are behind him as well. I think that it's a matter of he's going to try and find a spot to start, but going back to Seattle to be a backup to a Jackson Dart or something, he's going to want to go somewhere where he thinks he can start. And quite frankly, I think he has a case as to, like, hey, I think that I'm still a starter in this league with how it went last year in Pittsburgh. But as far as how it will go with a new regime, new team, I think the best you've seen out of Russell Wilson is behind him.
Can I ask you this then? Just before we break.
No.
Is Russell Wilson better than Sam Darnold right now?
No.
No.
Is he better than Justin Fields?
Yes.
Right now?
I guess.
He can throw the ball. Justin Fields can't throw the ball. So.
What about Daniel Jones? Is he better than
Yes.
Him?
Yes.
So there's two quarterbacks that we've said already that...
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk is hurt, but I mean...
A Kirk Cousins that has an ACL to throw off of.
Yeah, I mean...
or an Achilles, right?
That's the case. Yeah. If that's the case, yes, but, you know, as present, no.
I mean, I hear you, and that's where it's like, if you're the Giants... and Aaron Rodgers has gone to the Vikings, and you're kind of sitting there like, dude, we need a quarterback. We can't throw Tommy DeVito out there again. It's like, are you taking...
We had the Tommy Cutlets era.
Are you taking Russell Wilson? Probably. And you'll roll with that, and you'll pray for the best.
I think that's one of those situations to where anything is better than what we had.
I mean, if you're the Vikings and Aaron Rodgers goes to the Giants and you're like, well, we need a quarterback. Are you going with Daniel Jones or Russell? I would probably go with Russell Wilson. At least I know he can throw the ball downfield.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised if somebody came calling to Los Angeles, too, after Matt Stafford signed a new deal to get Jimmy Garoppolo. The Rams said they didn't. No, hear me out. The Rams said, and I'm a Rams fan, I don't want him under center for him, but the Rams said if they traded Stafford away, they would have been comfortable with Garoppolo. I don't know if they're lying, but I wonder if teams would be knocking on the door in this just terrible wave of mediocrity of quarterbacks this
offseason. I think they're lying to themselves if that's the case.
Probably.
I think we really believe in Jimmy. I think he can get it done for us. Don't throw more than 10 passes.
Done with porn stars.
This is just ugly offseason for teams needing quarterbacks and what's available. And some of the questions are going to get answered as far as in the draft, whether it's the Giants, the Titans, the Seahawks, they pick 18th, whether they'll trade up or stand pat and go with the Jackson Dart. Time will tell. We are about 2 months away from the NFL draft, but still a lot of decisions left to be made out there when it comes to teams and their future quarterback. Take a break, but there's some news in the NFL this morning. We have an extension signed, a player who requested a trade, who I thought he was definitely gone. Didn't think he would be coming back to the same team. That is not the case. We get to that next year. Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan. In hour number two, we will have Roy Pittman in the studio with Rashad and I, local wrestling coach legend. Rashad knows much more about the man than I do.
Oh, yeah, man.
Just came back with a flyer of some sort.
Yeah. You know, it's just some reading material. You know, some notes of sorts, and people will hear more about it. But, yeah, I'm excited for our guests for a lot of different reasons, but I don't know. I know some other people are a little more excited about, you know, getting the bag, I heard.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I heard.
What are you talking about? Oh, yeah.
A bag means money, Joe.
Yes, I teased it before going to a commercial break, and then I completely forgot what you're talking about.
Straight cash, homie.
But there is some cash being thrown around in the NFL, and that cash is going to one Myles Garrett. No.
Get paid.
A trade is not happening. Myles Garrett is not being traded from the Cleveland Browns. He has agreed today to a record contract extension that averages $40 million per year and includes $123.5 million in guaranteed money, which makes him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Seems like that happens every offseason.
Every year, somebody's getting all
someone almost, becomes yeah, the new the highest paid whatever non-quarterback.
It's going to happen like six times this offseason.
That's a lot of money.
But, I mean, yes, and rightfully so for a player of Myles Garrett's caliber. But the Cleveland Browns, I mean, that is... that is a trade that I felt like needed to happen for the Cleveland Browns, a team that needs to recoup some draft picks, recoup some money that they need to build this team back up from square one, because after that Deshaun Watson deal, which is the worst in sports history, where they lost draft picks, they restructured the deal, but still have had to pay him a butt ton of money and still do. I felt like this was a trade that Cleveland needed to make. And then also with having the number two overall pick, that you had the potential of having a guy like Abdul Carter falling into your lap, who is possibly the best player coming out of this draft, but definitely the best edge rusher, that you were able to essentially find that replacement. Now, obviously, Abdul Carter is not Myles Garrett. Could he become Myles Garrett? Time will tell. But I felt like you were in a situation that you could have made that happen, because Tennessee very well could say, you know, we're good on a quarterback in this draft. We're good on not taking Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, or even trading out of that first pick for someone that wanted one of those guys, or even wanted Abdul Carter number one overall. That was maybe that's where Cleveland was in a spot where it's like, listen, we can't guarantee that we're going to get him at number two. What we can guarantee is money to Myles Garrett. And so Myles Garrett, he gets his bag. Now, good luck to the Cowboys, who don't learn their lesson from what happened with Dak and CeeDee Lamb. And they're going to have to now one up the Cleveland Browns and pay Micah Parsons at least $40 million a year. So good job on them and Jerry Jones not learning their lesson. But that's for a whole nother point, whole nother discussion. And Myles Garrett, now the highest non-paid quarterback in NFL, going back to the Cleveland Browns. So good for them, I guess.
Well, I mean, incredibly well deserved. Like, let's just, you know, be real. Myles Garrett is one of them ones.
He was gonna get this money wherever he went.
He was gonna get it. You know, he had 14 sacks on the year, which is, you know, second in the league. He's tied for ninth for forced fumbles. Like, Myles Garrett is just one of those guys that just, you know, you put him out there and you put him on a good team, a team that's on track to win a Super Bowl or compete for a Super Bowl. If he'd have, you know, been able to slip to the, imagine if he was able to slip to the Lions or some team that really doesn't need the Eagles, some team that really doesn't need any additional help.
I was
there.
Nervous as hell that the Eagles were somehow going to make.
Yeah,
that happen.
Like, I mean, seriously, and imagine Myles Garrett going to a team that's right there and ready to compete. And
waiting for that news breaking headline, Eagles trade for Myles Garrett. And are you effing kidding me?
And watch the rest of us lose our S because Myles Garrett is just going to terrorize the league. But luckily for us, he gets to do it in Cleveland. And Cleveland's in a great spot because if Tennessee indeed does go into Abdul Carter, number one, you need a quarterback if you're in Cleveland right now. And that means Cam Ward will fall number two to you. I don't think anybody's looking at Shedeur at this point. Honestly, I like Shedeur Sanders, but if Shador's last name wasn't Sanders, if it was Jones, I don't think anybody would care as much. I don't think there would be as much stock in Shedeur. I think he's good. You know, I think he's more I think he can throw his receiver a little better than a Cam Ward can, but I think Cam Ward is probably a better overall prospect. So if Abdul Carter indeed does go number one, then I hope Cleveland isn't dumb and takes a Travis Hunter at number two or something like that. Hopefully they go quarterback and it's Cam Ward, because it looks like that's where your focus is going to be. And you're going to get him cheap. So you're going to get a quarterback for 3 years for cheap. That's a good thing if you're Cleveland. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping all this is good for everybody else, especially the NFL, because – I don't think any of us expect much from Cleveland as a whole. Maybe you are afraid of that defense because of what Myles Garrett can do. but you don't have to worry about Cleveland being like a huge factor this year, at least.
Apparently, I jumbled up my words according to the text line. I said the highest non-paid quarterback. Highest paid non-quarterback.
I screwed it up in my update, too.
Oh, OK.
It's maybe hard that, to say.
Maybe that's where it came from. I was going to say I didn't listen.
Sorry, Mr. Perfect.
No, we're going to see this like six times this offseason, and it's just one of those times where whoever's writing it is super excited to write the highest paid quarterback.
What?
Highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Is that right? That's right. Okay.
Highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
Get your money, young man. You know, 29 totally. Years old, man, like, go ahead, Myles Garrett. You deserve it. If there's any player around the league that we could say, like, you deserve it. And look, think about this. Over the last 10 years, I think there have been two players on defense that I'm like, you are a generational talent on defense.
From going to possibly murder Mason Rudolph 5 years ago.
Oh, that's helmet swing. Iconic.
To now being the highest non-quarterback. Wait. Highest quarterback paid.
Bingo.
There we go.
Nailed it.
Going on a murderous rampage.
A lot of people thought his career might be over after
that. Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was.
He just tried to kill him.
He really did take a swing.
Someone called security.
That's a dude that you don't like. It's Myles Garrett. It's always the quiet ones. Like, Myles Garrett, like, to media and everybody, this is a quiet dude. Don't say much. Just kind of, you know, I'm just kind of out here. You know, hey guys.
Reminds me of that.
My name's Miles.
Reminds me of that Key and Peele segment of the UFC fighters or whatever.
Oh, and one of, is he serious?
Like one of them's like guys ever.
Yeah. Well, one of them's like Brazilian, but he's just like so monotone. And he's like, I will take his soul and rip it out of his mouth.
Wait,
and
what did he say?
Maybe. Yeah. It's just like, yeah. I thought we were just going to fight.
That's Myles Garrett. So
I will send him to the depths of whatever God that he prays to. And it's like, I thought we were just going to fight.
Yeah.
What is he talking about here?
That's Myles. So, man, congratulations to him. And this could be the start of really good things for this Browns franchise.
Yeah. And again, I referenced it. It's really bad things for my Cowboys because now – Micah Parsons, who is going to be next in line for the deal, is like, well, how about that?
Well, pay him.
Hey, Jerry.
Listen,
weird.
If you're the
Cowboys,
should have
done that off season ago, buddy.
But, yeah, if you're the Cowboys, like, you're in no position to start trying to bargain with people, you know, and like, hey, man, give him his money.
But again, like,
keep him there.
Don't wait.
Is he not worth it? Yeah, no, don't wait. But is
he? Why you don't wait? This is why you get the deal done. Like Jerry Jones, Dallas Cowboys. Do you want Micah Parsons on your team? Yes. Sign him. Give him what he wants and get it done early so that way you don't have stuff like this happen and then you are now having to pay even more. Like, you effed up again. You thought you would have learned from Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and waiting and waiting and waiting to sign those deals. And then you did, and now they account for like 40%, 45% of your cap hit next year. So, best of luck to them. Best of luck to the Browns, where Myles Garrett's going to get paid to play really good football and then just have to sit on another 5-12 season, possibly. So,
yeah, I mean, welcome to the NFL.
So, Myles Garrett, he gets paid. He will not be getting traded to a contender, to any team. He will stay on the Cleveland Browns. He is the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history.
DK Metcalf, take notes.
Well, he's not getting $40 million a year, but
I get something.
Well, he's going to get something.
You want to keep me, Seattle?
No, not $40 million a year.
Pay me. Seattle got it.
We're going to take a break, though. Hour number two, we got Roy Pittman, local wrestling legend, who Rashad told me rumors that he has been on the receiving end of a Rock Bottom and a Stone Cold Stunner.
He did not say that, but yes, he probably, like I said, he probably trained everybody else. So I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, two of those two guys were under Coach Pittman as well.
Well, that's disappointing. I don't want to do the interview anymore. If he hasn't been on the receiving end of the Stone Cold Stunner,
get
then
get your ass out, then Joe. I'll do this normally. No, but yeah, I don't know if he's taking any of those.
No, I'm excited to meet Roy, talk a little bit more about him with wrestling, and also just the athletics that come with being a great wrestler. Because I too was once a great wrestler, Rashad.
Really?
Yes, in seventh grade, and then I quit after 2 months and realizing I didn't like wrestling. So,
little wiry kid you were, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. I mean, my oily hips, they just weren't, I couldn't get them activated quick enough.
I'm sure
you
could have been a factor.
I'm trying to imagine Joe the Third as a wrestler, and I just can't.
So. I think what did it for me was one drill or one exercise where, like, when you're warming up and you have to do the knee drag, where you take one step and then you drag the knee and you step. And so you're always in this like crouching on one knee position and you're going across the mat, dragging the one knee and then stepping with the other leg. And you're always, it just got to me one day. And I remember
came home with some rug burns. It was like, Mom, look.
I remember my sister was at that practice though. Like, she was just hanging out watching and we go and get water. And I was just like, yeah, I don't think I like wrestling.
I'm not going back tomorrow. I've decided.
Sorry. I'm a basketball player.
Yeah, I'm a hooper.
Worked out much better.
That's why people choose hoop. Like, yeah, can't do this wrestling thing. I'm going to play basketball.
Let's get Roy Pittman here, though, and talk about some wrestling, his career, what he's done for the community as well. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.